All right, folks, welcome to Nino's Corner.tv. I am joined with Pete Doc Chambers, who's running for governor of Texas against Greg Abbott. And now you all know what I think about Greg Abbott. I've been very vocal and opinionated on Greg Abbott. But I want to give thanks to Steve Jimenev for hooking this podcast up, this interview up. Much thanks out to you, Jim, or Steve. Thank you so much. Doc, I mean, can I call you just Doc?
Absolutely. That's my term of endearment. My boys gave me downrange.
All right, cool. So, man, I love to see people like you come to the forefront and really forge forward with this. You're a former Green Beret. You're a survivor like myself. Let's first talk about that. Let's let the people get to know you a little bit.
Yeah.
You had neurosurgery.
Oh, yeah, I got blown up downrange in 04. They didn't do neurosurgery, but the neurosurgeon, I had a TBI, but also had cracked a transverse process in my neck. So the neurosurgeon had to come in and fix that because it was pinching a nerve in my arm, and I was still working on Operation Lone Star. They fixed it in a day. It was fixed. I've been dealing with that since 04. So the VA is a little slow sometimes.
No, I get you, but you're a former Green Beret, so you've seen the battlefield, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, I've done three hard combat tours and then about 12 total tours in different countries all over the world. You know, there are things that happen out there that we try to avoid war. And so sometimes they'll send us in there to go. We're warrior diplomats. I mean, that's really where we focus. We can be like SEALs, but we tend to focus on trying to avoid, infractions that turn into major war. So that's a forte of Green Berets. And I love the job. I loved the job.
So, you know, like myself, I consider myself a survivor. I've been knifed in the throat. I took 369 stitches. Mine was due to partying, you know, just being at the wrong place at the wrong time, just being a derelict, degenerate, whatever you want to say. I'm six years sober now, but for a long time while I was boxing, man, it was a life. I was juggling extremes from, boxing, partying, the whole thing. It was a really rough life, and I came out of that and improved my life. So I feel like we have that in common, at least both of us.
Yeah, survivor.
Going right in the right direction. Yeah. And you have more to speak on. You know, I pay attention more to the guy that fell down, got knocked down, hit rock bottom, and got back up. That's who I pay attention to. The people that have never fallen before, they don't have much of a story, but you do have a story. You were in combat. You were doing all that. And you profess your love for Christianity and Jesus Christ. I mean, you're very outspoken about that, correct?
Yeah, that's, you get that moniker and they think you're a preacher when you come walking in. And I'm like, well, I might be a preacher, but I'm a machine gun preacher. So, there's a time to be a watchman and to warn people. And if you don't warn them, then it's on your head. So I believe the book and that's where I go. And sometimes it rubs people the wrong way. I don't mind that. I don't profess that they should believe how I do. But I also say that I protected, the Constitution of the United States and all people. It doesn't matter. Left, right, middle. I'm just a common sense guy. I just happen to be a Republican when it comes to the ticket.
But, let's just be honest here. I mean, you're facing off against Greg Abbott.
Oh, I mean, there's no doubt. We had no preconceived notions of even being where we're at today, but we knew we had to be a forcing function. There's nine other people that are in this race against him. So everybody has their own.
You're one of the nine. So you're right. You're like, where are you in this race?
We're in the lead. We're in the lead of the nine. We're in the pole position. So that's a good place to be. We didn't really know how quickly that would happen. And here it did in the last few weeks because people realized in the name recognition side of the house, that's the key for a guy like me that's coming in from the outside. I did 39 years in the military between active guard and reserve, and left the border in 2022. And I saw what was happening under Abbott. I worked for him directly. I briefed him face to face. And I'd say, sir, if you don't do this in about 4 years or this or that, and here we are. So my priority is the safety, security of the state by the Constitution of the state of Texas. And so here we go.
So, like I have my own beef with Abbott. I live on the border, so I'm right here on the front lines. I've seen everything. The human trafficking, drug trafficking, all of that. He didn't even put a dent in it. When he said he put up the razor wire, I took my camera out there and I showed the people what the razor wire looked like. It was pathetic. It was a joke. You just throw a towel over it. It's on the floor. You crawl right over it. It's a joke. It was a joke. So while Biden was in office, he did nothing, in my opinion. Absolutely nothing. Where do you give him a grade on that? Like on the border. So
completely, let's
say my grade for him is an F.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I was saw it from the inside. I was there at Eagle Pass when we were saying, come and take it with the wire. That was an optic. They let the reporters go there, but literally a mile up the river and a mile down the river were 900, 1,000 people coming across a night. And so we can't let the, you know, what you see on mainstream media, you know, that's a misperception. And then perception is reality. So when they watch it on news, that's their reality. And for me, I'm trying to say, hey, look, you know, bro, we need your help here, Governor. And we did it 2 years too late. Trump came in, he put a tourniquet, if you will, on the numbers on the border. It helps us. But right now we've got a lot of bad actors in the state. And that's where it's led to second and third order effects that are detrimental to us. The state is the gem of the central part of the U.S.
Right. So what, like, honestly, let's talk about this for a second. How are you going to handle the border differently? Obviously, Trump's in there right now. He's making a big impact. But how are you going to, let's say a post-Trump era? You know,
right.
Like,
that's
really nervous.
Bingo. Bingo. Right there.
Okay. So post Trump era, we got it for 3 years. We know that. Right.
Yep.
But let's say, from what I'm hearing, the immigrants are still arriving up to the northern part of the border and they're getting ready to invade in 2028, Biden 2.0. And I'll be honest with you. I don't much care for Vance right now. I'm kind of neutral on him. I'm still trying to feel him out, but I see nobody that can be a successor of Trump. So
no.
How will you handle something that happens? And if we get invaded again, how will you handle it differently than get Greg Abbott?
Great question. Yeah, great question. So the thing is, you cannot be reactive. And that's what Governor Abbott is. You got to be proactive. So right now, because I've already got the tacit knowledge of the border and I've already worked with every element down there all the way from Brownsville to El Paso, I understand it. So the thing is, we've already got the techniques, tactics, and practices down ready to go, and they're in the queue. And so in that case, sometimes you're going to have to close a POE, a port of entry. Sometimes you're going to have to do more than just put a few floaties in the water and then show it to your people and say, hey, this is going to work. Sometimes you're going to have to declare a foreign terrorist organization on many more than just two. He did that on the Muslim Brotherhood and the CARE people just recently because he's going into an election. There's about 8-9 other groups down there. Tren de Aragua that came across in Eagle Pass 2 years ago.
And right here's a picture of what Eagle Pass looked like with all of them coming over. I mean,
bingo.
It was insanity. And
I was there that day. Yeah, I was there that day. And so when we see that, we got to understand that there's a globalist mentality that wants to destabilize the United States. And now we're in a color revolution style setup. It's a hybrid one. And so when we look at that, you've got to understand these kind of things. And we're not in a time where you can have a lawyer, you know, guy that's going to come in and just use strongly worded letters. You got to have authorities. And then you got to propose action. So I've got to build the state guard back up to what it used to be, right? The state guard belongs to the state. The national guard can be taken away by the federal government, and they can be. And then that's the game that was played. Right now we still got troops from Texas that are in the Middle East. So we need to bring those back. We need to protect those in this state through the state guard system. And then we can actually be on standby should something happen to really shut the border down. But I've got to give authorities to do that. We never got authorities to do that. We got authorities to watch people and count heads.
So I'm going to show something here on the screen that is kind of alarming to me, to be quite honest with you.
Yes,
this
sir.
This was sent to me by Steve, and he said right here, this is you're not showing up on the ballot, correct? And when people can you explain this to me, what's happening here? I mean, we know both sides cheat. You know, Democrats and Republicans, it's for the establishment. Both sides are the establishment. How do you deal with this type of what they're doing here? How do you defeat this? The odds are stacked against you immensely. I don't know how you're going to do this.
Yeah, we don't know either, to be honest with you. We're just stepping, you know, one day at a time. Of course, we have a tactic. We know 1.6 million people voted in the last off-cycle primary. We need to get about 1 million people or more to make it too big to steal. So we're focusing there on pointed targeting messaging. But when things like this happen, and I can't confirm nor deny this, I don't have the wherewithal to launch an investigation, but we've seen things like this. We've seen people getting bused to the precincts that are, you know, Democrats. They pay them money. They come in and they vote Is it confirmed? No, I can only say alleged at this time. But this kind of stuff is going to go on forever. It's always gone on in Texas, in the country. And so it doesn't concern me. It concerns me, but what can I do about it? It's chaos. And when you're in chaos, you control the things you can. I can't control this. And so it's concerning. And I've seen that post, and it is what it is. I mean, people send me messages from all over. Hey, here's my screen. I don't see you. And then these heart machines are just like the Smartmatic and the ESNS. I do work at a think tank where we do conduct operations that look for these kind of things with regard to source codes coming out of Venezuela and things like that. We do counter human trafficking as well. So we know the networks on the border. We know the potential for the steal. And if you don't have a free and fair election, then what do you got?
Yeah, so, it says here, folks, we now have two incidences that of Doc's name either not showing up as a candidate, or in the second incident, his name showed, voters selected him, but it did not print on multiple attempts. If you see or hear about something like this happening, the campaign needs to know ASAP.
Yes, and we're collecting that data. We've got a guy that's working on it. He's a former Tier 1 operator, intelligence guy. He's collecting all that information, and then we can propose it to present it to the Attorney General, Ken Paxton, or to the Secretary of State. We don't have a friendly Secretary of State, by the way. She's allowing for open primaries.
I'll be honest with you. I think the whole government, it's like fumigating for termites. You got to put a big tent over the house and just take them all out. You know, I'm hearing rumors, and I don't know if you've heard this, of Donald Trump declaring a national emergency, signing an executive order as we go into the midterms for in-person paper ballots, real ID, the whole thing. That to me would increase your odds big time, right?
Oh, absolutely. We you know, same thing. We've been looking at that potential for the last 6 months. We kicked off the campaign in August. We've been looking at that potential. It just hasn't come. I don't know if it's going to help us in the next few days. But at least we know this. We know we're a forcing function. There are tens of thousands of Texans that are standing up, and 600,000, as far as I can tell, are crying about this. Whether they vote for me or not, I don't know. But I'm looking at the polls, the precincts, and it's double the amount it was 4 years ago in that election. That favors to us, because favorability rating on Abbott is in the dumps right now.
So, everything's going to be decided in the primaries. When is the primary for someone like me that doesn't know?
March the 3rd. That is, matter of fact, it comes the day after the Texas Independence Day on March the 2nd. So just remind people so they know, oh, wait, tomorrow we got to go vote. Because it's early voting right now, but we're telling our people vote on the actual day, because you might as well get used to it. Because if I'm governor, it's going to be no mail-in ballots unless you're deployed downrange or you're debilitated in a hospital, because we've got to clean that up.
So let me ask you this. So, the vote, everyone needs to vote by, you said the 3rd for the primary?
On the 3rd. That's the actual primary day.
Do you know where you're polling right now? Is there any way to know that? Because
there's two polls that I've seen that have come out, and I don't waste money on, we're running a streamlined campaign, but we've got one that was a pretty decent sized poll, and we were actually in the lead on that one, plus or minus 4 standard deviation, 4 points. And then the other poll was done on X, believe it or not, because social media is a strong tool. And that one was done on X. 8,000 people voted on two separate polls, and both of them had us at 88% evenly, two separate people doing it. So you look at things like that, and you develop a sentiment analysis, and you say, okay, it looks like we're doing pretty good, but X is not everything. You got to go to the Facebook side. You got to go to the TikTok, the Gen Zs. We got to get even the Democrats that are sick and tired of what, the far left Democrats are doing, and saying, hey, look, this guy's common sense. He's going to decrease taxes. He's going to secure the border. They want the border secured as well. Now I may not be on the left when it comes to, whether they can smoke pot on the street, but honestly, I stand firm on this, on the Constitution, and that's where I go with the laws, and it was built to be fair for everyone.
El Paso, man, it's like its own entity, man. It's like the twisted stepsister of Texas. It's New Texaco, right? Like here, it's so different. Yeah. We border Mexico, New Mexico. Yeah. I mean, you literally, and the border here goes like a snake. It's just like One minute you're in New Mexico, you go to then you go to the grocery store across the street, you're back in Texas. It's wild here, right? Like, yeah. And so literally people just, there's all kinds of weed dispensaries in New Mexico buying fireworks. I mean, it's like a hybrid here of Texas, New Mexico, and Mexico. It's a very unique place. Are you coming to El Paso to visit?
Absolutely. I'm coming out there on the 28th, I believe, or what? Where? Yeah, 28th. I'll be out there pretty soon. It's a long haul. We'll get there. And because here's the deal. When I talk to a guy, and I've spent time out there, I've been at Fort Bliss numerous times and then worked on that border and counter human trafficking right there, looking at tunnels and things with my dog in tunnels right there at that crossing. Right where you go to the far west there, where it turns into New Mexico, and you got those hills with fences that are wide open. And so for me, when I talked to a guy the other day, a guy named Torres, he lives out there, and he's just a local guy that cares. And he told me, he said, you know, on a show like this, he said, nobody seems to care about El Paso and Austin. He said, they consider Odessa West Texas. We're West Texas. I'm like, brother, that's why I'm coming out there. So I'm going to meet with him, and I'm come out, hopefully meet with you and see. I know what's going on the ground. I've spent a lot of time there, but I've got to see the feeling of coming from the people on what, you know, I got to use two of these, right? And listen to what the problems that are.
And you know, it's very, very, El Paso is probably the most politically corrupt city in Texas. I would bet on that. Laredo and El Paso are probably the two most. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm going to add one more to that. I'm with you, and I don't know that, you know, which one has the most corruption, but Harris County down in Houston, that's corrupt. Tarrant County's got a lot of corruption in the voting side, because there are multiple people that have been registered under those different voter IDs. That's just the voting side, but corruption in the leadership is El Paso is right there at the top, and Laredo, same thing.
So how would you go about funneling out and ending the corruption in Texas? Like, what are the three big things that you want to change in Texas?
Right. With corruption, first of all, election integrity, number one. It has to be, otherwise you're going to continue to get those same people in office. The other thing is we got to do is we've got to get rid of the good old boy network. So that means a guy like me that comes in, I'm not appointing people to work for me. I've told them, if you give large donations, you'll never be appointed by me to anything. Because it's a conflict of interest. That's number two. That's an integrity thing. And then with transparency, that means that any kind of meetings that take place between lobbyists and people of higher positions, they've got to be transparent. And for me, every one of them will be televised to, we don't have a T-span in Texas yet, but there will be. And then you can watch those meetings take place to know what's going on behind the doors, so that people don't consider, because I'm not coming in this so I can get rich. I'd much rather just go back to the Red River where my family is and work some cattle and just relax. I've done 39 years. I've got a retirement. I'm happy. But that's the thing, is you got to consider those things. So this is a paradigm shift in thinking. It's a paradigm shift. It's focusing now on we the people, and it's truly in the Constitution. It says it right there in the Bill of Rights in Article 1, Section 2. All political power is inherent in the people, not the governor, not the legislator. They work for you. I'm running for senior public servant, so to speak, not governor. That's too British. We already whooped them. So
public servant, I like that.
Yeah, senior public servant.
Senior public servant, I like that. So, like, when you come to El Paso, you know this is Veronica Escobar, Beto O'Rourke land out here. Everyone's, you know, I can't say everybody, but there's a lot, but the majority of people here are all about Beto O'Rourke, all about Veronica Escobar. That's why I say it's so corrupt over here. But, you know, Beto O'Rourke got scary close to defeating Greg Abbott.
Did.
How do you feel about that? And who's even running on the Democrat side?
Right. Okay. So there's a lady named Gina Hinojosa. She's the lead right now in the primaries on the Democrat side. Seems like a nice lady, and I listened to some of her stuff. She's playing on some of the same talking points that I use with regarding to Abbott. She's just in the Democrat camp. So that's the one that we'll be going against. But I know this, that if we make it through, then that means that all the money in Texas, so that we can do more advertising to do the name recognition thing, because now we're talking about 20 million voters on March the 2nd. I'm sorry, on November the 2nd, because that's the final date for this thing. So to take the seat in 2027 as the senior public servant, if you will. So I'll have to debate her. That's fine. We'll just talk and tell truths. I'm a statesman. I don't get ugly. I've already been in four debates now. Governor Abbott was invited to one of them. He did. His team, you know, said he couldn't make it out there. That's fine.
Wait, you haven't even debated Greg Abbott yet?
No, he won't do that. He didn't do it in the last primary. He'll wait until we get into, if we get into a runoff, he better.
So he's just going on name alone. He's just his name's big enough. He just feels he could win it just by his name being on the ballot, basically. He doesn't need to debate. See, that should be illegal, in my opinion.
I mean, we should change that. We should also limit the amount of money that you can throw into a campaign, because it really offsets the ability to get the name recognition. We should have a limit on that. But that's my personal opinion. Is it something I can do? I don't know. The Secretary of State is an appointed position, and that is the person that's responsible for the elections. It should not be an appointed position. It should be an elected position, because that way there's no way for me to go, hey, good old buddy, you know, what do you think? You want to, you know, maybe keep the election primaries open for me? I don't know if that's the case, but it just looks better when people can vote for the most important person in elections in Texas, the Secretary of State.
So let's say you did debate Greg Abbott. What would be the main points you would try to drive home against him? You know,
well, it would be real hard for him to. It would be real hard for him to talk border security with me when I was right there as a senior lieutenant colonel, Green Beret, and responsible for the care of 6,000 soldiers on that border as a task force surgeon and flight surgeon. So if you're gonna, you know, there's no way we can. I'll just tell truths. The other thing is I. You know, here's what I say. People ask me, what are you going to do different than Abbott? I say, I'm not going to lie to you for 11, 12 years now to tell you I'm going to decrease taxes. Middle class in Texas is getting taxed out. 40% of people in Texas can't afford a home because of the taxes, because they're so out of control. The appraisal districts are out of control. The foreign people are coming in and buying up Texas land, and they'll pay cash on the barrel for a lot more than what it's worth. And then it increases the taxes of the neighbors. And there you go. It happened in Hill Country. It's happened up north in other counties where I sit and listen to people. And they're saying, we can't keep our homesteads, right? And these people are coming in buying homes to put in Airbnbs and you know, do all this other stuff that makes money for them. But we can't live in our neighborhoods anymore. So 40% of Texas, we're number six in the country on property taxes. So I'll just say, Mr. Governor, would you like to? I mean, we sit at number eight in the gross national product. Number eight in the world, if Texas was a country. So that means we've got a lot of money. We're equivalent to what Russia brings in as far as, you know, financial, you know, remuneration. So when it comes to that, we got to do better, because our education system's sitting at number 40 out of 50. Yet we hire a lot of H-1B visas to come in from other countries to take those technology and finance jobs. So we got to, you know, put a little bit of a hold on that. We got 500,000 new H-1Bs under Abbott.
I've heard that El Paso, Texas has a good homeschooling coalition. Are you going to further endorse that and push that
forward? Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, Bob, I'm a public school kid, but, you know, schools were different then. But I have to take the reins off of the controls over the teachers in the classroom and take some of that, you know, administrative fluff that they've got up there and move it down to the classroom so they can get paid more, but they can also really teach, you know, what they need, the actual, you know, key subjects, reading, writing, arithmetic, learn Texas history, learn the things that they've lost in the past. And they create a system not to learn how to take a test, just to check the box and say, all right, they're good. Good luck in life. But to teach them how to get out into life, and not worry about just a test, the STAR test. You know, it's a really bad way to teach, because they learn how to take a test, and that doesn't mean they can get through life real well.
What about teachers pushing the woke agenda and really downloading their ideologies onto the students in public schools? I mean, it'd be absolutely illegal if you ask me. Like the whole LGBTQ, the whole thing, the whole woke agenda, like all the public schools. I used to speak at public schools. I used to go there and speak of, and I have a anti-bullying engagements, right? And I would speak to the kids, and every time I went there, they would really try to be like, well, you know, don't say this, we don't like that you talk about self-defense, you gotta and I noticed the kids were more feminized, emasculated. They were really pushing their woke agenda, and they're trying to get me to be on board with it, and I just had to step away. I said I can't do this anymore.
There is legislation. Yeah, there is legislation on that now, because they realize that people are upset about it, right? And so that's one of my concerns about if somebody comes in too far to the left, they tend to push those woke agendas. Our university system is doing the same thing. Our big schools are doing the same thing. Big schools that take a lot of money from the state of Texas are still pushing woke DEI curriculum.
Yeah.
So as it pushes up from our, and what are these things? Ultimately, they go back to Marxism, which goes back to destabilizing a nation by disenfranchising us. So now the younger generations are confused. They're like, am I supposed to be this way or this way? Am I going to push?
You know, they're in indoctrination camps. Kids go off to school, go off to colleges. They come back, they're completely different. They leave conservative. They come back completely brainwashed and liberal.
Bingo. And so that's my job, is to focus on the legislation that's already been pushed, but we've got to have some teeth in it. Once again, you just can't just say it. These big universities, two of them are UTA and Texas A&M. If they're getting tens of billions of dollars that come out of the ground in West Texas. Yeah. People don't know about this. It's called a permanent university fund, a PUF. They get 15% of the crude oil revenue that comes out of West Texas public land. So if they get that based upon some old policy that was a law that was in the 1800s, late 1800s, when oil came on the scene, that was to help build those schools up. Well, they're pretty well built up now. I think they're doing pretty good. So we've got to start looking at that and saying, wait a minute, hold on. You can't work. You can't keep pushing those woke policies there, Board of Regents. And those are appointed positions by the governor. So those are the things that I've got to put people in there that are just going to be fair and just get those students so they can leave college. And college doesn't become a career waiting for the next degree, but they can finish college and have it. And college is not for everybody. I'm a big fan of VoTech and vocational jobs and teaching kids in high school how to do technology jobs so they can get those jobs right after high school. And they're not doing it right now.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. Completely agree with you on that. So let's just shift gears for a second here and talk about China coming into Texas and buying up all the ranch land, the farmland. How do we stop this?
Yeah, well, you know, the Arkansas did that.
Is there any way to stop that?
Yeah, Arkansas did that already. They stopped China from being able to buy any land. You got to watch out because they use surrogates sometimes to buy land through corporations. But you know, we got to follow the money on those kind of things. But I've got a list of about 12 countries in the world that are not friendly to the United States. That means they're probably not friendly to Texas. They're using Texas as their investment tool. Now, let's not even talk about the security risk that's there, but we've got to talk about with AI data centers, with batteries in the ground, these lithium batteries. Those things have components in them that are made in China and do allow for a man-in-the-middle attack that can then shut down our power grid should we have a problem. So we've got to, you know, stop that, because that is an attack. First county that did it was Van Zandt County, Canton is the name of the town, and that they've already got a moratorium, a hold on those type of things coming into the counties. Now, you know, we can talk about also the wind power and the solar power. Those policies now, we've seen that as a green new scam, as Trump calls it. Okay, good. Well, let's go with the natural gas. We only use 40%. Let's put that in the system. And so all these things kind of, there's nothing in a vacuum. It all's tied together at the 40,000 foot view. It's my job to be able to look at that and then say, okay, task force, hey, commission, let's make a plan for this, because water in West Texas, I'm telling you right now, brother, 2050, 2070, the Ogallala Aquifer will be dry. We won't be able to cool the servers.
You know, you go to Arizona and Lake Mead is dry as a bone. You know, into Nevada, and I'm hearing that Saudi Arabia is taking all the water. And I mean, what's that?
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many things that just this country is just being taken advantage of, and it starts statewide. It starts with the governors, you know, the grassroots. Another thing that is a concern for a lot of Texans is these Muslim communities, right? Let's just talk about it just for a second. You know, Plano, Texas, it seems to be like they have their Sharia law, they're governing themselves, which should be illegal and against the Constitution, where you can govern yourself, tell people what kind of businesses they can or cannot bring into the community. How do we handle this, man? Because it's very, it's a very touchy subject because it goes against certain human rights. I mean, I don't, it's a very gray area. How would you tackle that?
Yeah, it's a gray area because we do have a First Amendment and freedom of religion. But when you start looking at And it's not all. Look, I got two interpreter buddies of mine from Afghanistan that came here, love Trump, voted conservative, and say this is not in our in the true bylaws of our faith. This is not what we're to do. We are to assimilate to this culture. We keep our faith, but we don't change the laws of the culture. It's against what they believe. But you have, like, just like anything, Baptist, Protestant, this and that. You have different factions that believe certain ways, and some of them are very, very militant in the sense of talking about caliphates, right? Which is the khalifa to take the world and make everyone a Muslim, right? Well, then that's not a religion of peace because they go by the verse of the sword. And the verse of the sword says, if you're not a Muslim, we can kill you or you better pay taxes to us. So when we look at those areas, and I know those areas very well, families all up on the Red River just past there, used to be that was farm country, but now all the way up to Prosper, which is, Plano, Frisco, all that, Richardson down as you get into the mid cities, those areas are, there's some neighborhoods that have literally Arabic names. And so you're not assimilating to U.S. culture, and that's not against the law. But what that's called a lily pad. And those things were the things that we warned about on the border when I saw 120 countries coming across the border, when I saw Hezbollah, when I saw Hamas, with documentation from Venezuela to look like they're from Venezuela. But as we were, down there working counterterrorism, we saw those numbers. We would brief those things to our higher ups and say, if we don't do something about it now, we're in trouble, Texas. And that was 4 years ago. So we're not in trouble. We're not over the precipice, but we've got to put a halt immediately, but not a strongly worded letter. It's got to have authorities. It always goes back to authorities. People don't know that because they don't know the ins and outs of this thing. And then you get Texas Rangers on it, and then they start going after bad sheriffs, and then they start going after.
And there's a lot of those, man.
Oh, yeah. And there's just as many good ones. I've seen them, and I know the difference because I can see their hearts when I'm talking to them, and so their focus and their center of gravity should be people, and not how much money can they bring into the community. When we sit at eighth largest economy in the world, I think we're doing pretty good. We can kind of like now get to the back to the more honest state of taking care of your people first. That's really where I focus.
And So obviously you're on the campaign trail right now. What's the next stop? I know you're coming to El Paso, but obviously you're in your RV right now.
Yeah, we're in a little kind of mini bus. We're going down to Lubbock right now. We got an evening event there, and then we'll go up to DFW, and then we'll go out to El Paso from there, and then we'll kick out back to San Antonio, down to San Jacinto, and over to all the way to the third. I mean, literally every day. We haven't stopped.
So how are people donating to you? What's your website?
Roger that. Yeah, they go to docpetechambers.org. And understand this, we're running the most streamlined campaign in Texas history right now compared to $100-something million war chest. So to get to where we are now is an indicator that we're effective. But we've got to go after the primary, possibly a runoff, possibly to meet Miss Hinojosa out there in that final election in the November timeframe. But we need the help because we got a lot more to do. I've got to expand the team now. We're a team of 12 with 1,500 volunteers roughly in Texas, and nobody gets paid. Everybody's volunteer, and they've given their hearts and souls to this thing because they care about Texas.
Well, Doc, man, I truly wish you the best of luck. If you're done, when you come to El Paso, please hit me up. I'll come and meet you out I'll take you some. Make sure you go to L&J's Mexican food. Okay.
If we don't get a chance to link up, but I'll be back out again, and we'll definitely link up if we don't. But either
absolutely. Way, stay with me, folks. Go to docpetechambers.org, and I guess there's a donate button there, right?
Yes, sir. We're up at the top right corner, and then a volunteer as well. We need people to knock on doors.
Absolutely. Doc, stay with me just for one moment. Thank you for joining me.
Sir.